Ah, welcome, loves. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Good to have you with us. And, you know, life is filled with all kinds of difficult conversations. Mom, where do babies come from? Boss, I'm quitting my job. I'm just thinking about the next question. Ah, the next question would be, Dad, Mom, have you thought about giving up your driver's license? You're probably scared about being disinherited because that's a really, you know, you start talking about taking somebody's license away, and I'm telling you something, some older people are not clearly and rationally thinking, and they're not, they don't understand how much they have slipped. And they shouldn't be driving. And I hope, and I don't think I really have to worry about reaching an age where my kids are going to have the discussion with me. But just in case, on the off chance I do, I am hoping that they will simply take the key, sell the car, and say, here's your money, Dad. You should not be driving anymore. That would be, I think, the most humane thing to do. Because don't engage me in an argument about whether or not I should be driving. Because I will get really pissed off. And I think a lot of people do get pissed off. And part of it is, well, I want to hear your stories about talking to your parents about it's time to stop driving. It's time to give it up. It's like an old relationship. It belongs in the ash bin of history. Let's go to Bob and Clarence. Bob, whatever's going on in the background, if you could put a stop to it. I kind of want to listen in here because this is sounds like almost a restaurant, maybe a bar. Hey, Bob, are you there? Yeah, let's put Bob on hold, but part of me really wants to keep the call up. My problem is that the people in the background don't know that they're on the radio, and that could lead to some legal ramifications. I know that's not how you really say it. I just have fun saying it that way. All right, so did you have to have the conversation with your mom, your dad, your grandparents maybe, about, hey, it's time to give up the driver's license? And how did that work out for you? How did it work out for you? And I bring this up because if you renewed your license during the pandemic and you didn't get your eyes examined, if you don't do it by 1st of December, if you don't present proof that you have visual acuity, you run the risk of having a suspended license. And with the automatic LPR, the license plate readers, it's easier. Excuse me, it's easier and easier to get pulled over for inspection sticker issues, insurance issues, etc., because everything is on the computer, everything, and it's all maintained by North Korea. Also, as you are listening to the show, and I do apologize, it's one of those nuisance colds, although I did read an article about a bunch of respiratory infections that are going around the world right now, especially amongst children. And I wouldn't want to assign blame to anybody on this situation, but my bride has a small granddaughter, and I believe that that is where this all originated. But it's okay. It comes with the territory. Kids are little mucus machines, and it's just the way it goes. So it sounds worse than it really is, obviously. So don't worry about it. I'm sure it'll be done with in a few days. But I also know I'm not alone in it, so I'm not exactly gonna lose sleep over it. 803-0930 is the phone number. Have you had to have the conversation, and are you dreading the conversation with mom or dad or both of them about, hey, you really shouldn't be driving anymore. You're not up to it. And I thank God. See, I don't believe in the afterlife. I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in hell. I do believe in God. And for some, that's a little weird, but it's just my faith. And I respect your faith. Just respect mine. That's all I ask. And I do thank God that I did not have to have that conversation with my dad, because my dad would have been, I'll tell you something, he was a grizzled Korean War veteran. And he wasn't a big man, but he would take crap from absolutely nobody. And the last thing I ever wanted to do was have a conversation with the old man about, hey, Dad, you shouldn't be driving anymore. His diabetes took care of that, because he lost one leg, then he lost the other leg. And his driving days were effectively cut short by diabetes, which is a reason to obviously keep yourself in shape and keep an eye on your A1C stuff. And also, let's just say this, if you notice that your toes are turning black, that's probably a sign that you should go to the doctor. But apparently in our family, and this includes myself, the men are very, that's actually a great show topic. Oh my goodness. How come I never thought about that before? Wow. That's, I don't know if I'm going to have time to do it today, but I got to put that one in the bank. family members who stupidly did not go to the doctor when they should have gone to the doctor. And I'm sorry, but when you're looking at your father's big toe and it's necrotic and you say, hey, Dad, you're starting to basically decompose from the bottom up. Might be a good time to see a doctor. And he says, I'm fine. Excuse me, I'm sure you've been in that position, and I probably sound like I'm in that position right now, and I apologize again. 803-0930 is the, you know what I want? A good cigarette right now would help. 803-0930, my doctor says Camels are the best. Sorry, David Bellavia, had to steal one of your lines. You ever watch those old cigarette ads online? I'm a physician, and after a hard day operating, I look forward to the delicious taste of a Camel cigarette. Like, I'm like, goodness. Let's go to Frank in I shouldn't laugh, but it was a totally different era, man. Frank in Amherst on WBEN. Frank, have you had the conversation about stripping the driver's privileges away from a family member?
Yeah, just went through with my dad, actually. Exact same thing, and did not go well. And I think we can all agree with each other. It's a tough spot to be in life, because you lose, you know, a significant amount of freedom, but it was just getting bad. He was definitely older, and, you know, from a kid's standpoint, his kid's standpoint, we're looking at it through the lens of not even so much his safety,
right,
but the safety of everybody else on the road, you know, and if something went south, then we would be the ones having to live with that, you know. So.
That, you know, that's such a great point, and it speaks volumes about your character, that you were more concerned with other people than you were with your father's safety. And what was it like? Were there some cumulative clues that came together to make the family coalesce around the idea that Dad should not be driving?
Yeah, definitely. Vision was one. And going in, talking, I think on the news they were talking about the getting your eyes checked and that whole thing during COVID, I think is what it just came up with. But that was the first thing. So his vision, you know, when he was tested, they were saying, like, you shouldn't be driving unless you have glasses. And he, for some reason, always fought the glasses, and I don't really know why. But so you have the conversation, like, you can't drive unless you wear the glasses. And he would get all mad and frustrated about that. And, you know, and then you would start talking about, you know, he would, his stance was, I'm looking out my back door into the woods and I can see birds on the branches. I can see deer out. Like, I can see all these things. It's like, I don't care if you can see deer or birds, read the fourth line on the eye chart. You know,
right.
It's like, so he would just get, you know, frustrated and angry. But so that was the first thing that we dealt with. And then just overall mobility and balance and, you know, all those types of things, you start to see that. He was 91 and still driving, and you start to see that diminish. And that's really when we were, you know, we kept having the conversation, and then, you know, he would get so mad about it.
How was his vision when he wore the glasses?
I don't remember the actual numbers on it, but it was sufficient, and he could see well with the glasses. But
so it was correctable to, like, 2040.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
And it just, we never understood, like, why not wear the glasses? Why is that such a big issue? And so, like I said, we went round and round on that. And if you started to raise the ante in the discussion a little bit about, you know, if you have that on your license, that you need corrective lenses, you're going down the road, minding your own business, you could be doing everything perfect, and if somebody pulls out of a parking lot in front of you and you get in a big wreck, police come, they do an investigation, and they happen to pick up on that. It's like, hey, Robertson, you know, where's your glasses? What are you going to say? You know, you're going to be in a pickle, and if they have, I guess, depending on the way it goes, you know, goes down, it very well could be where you could be at fault because you were driving with no glasses, even though you didn't do anything wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you'd have to ask an attorney who specializes in personal injury law a question like that, or somebody who specializes in motor vehicle law. There aren't many of those around.
But you know what I mean?
No, I do. But I guess
you could have a car that has a registration that is a week out,
right?
And you could be doing everything perfect and driving the car, and the car could be mechanically sound, like everything could be perfect. But you could, in fact, get yourself in a huge problem because your registration is, in fact, 1 week out, and they could be saying you shouldn't be on the road. So, I mean, it just opened the door into a whole bunch of different things. And, again, he was really frustrated and didn't want to hear any of that. So,
well,
it made it
Frank, how him. Much of it – I mean, look, none of us like to admit that as we get older, we become more frail, okay? I mean, mm-hmm. I'm the guy who literally walked around for a week with a Widowmaker heart attack, and I was in total denial, and I didn't go to the hospital. So yeah. I can kind of relate to your dad's personality mm-hmm. type because I'm a stubborn person myself with a little bit of a temper. And what I don't understand, though, Frank, is I don't know if you wear glasses, but...
I do.
Okay. When I'm driving, I want every visual advantage possible, especially at night when I have to put up my mental deer shield around the car. You know, I just basically, I wish and will the deer away.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And yeah, I mean, even my correction is not, I could drive without glasses on, but you get used to crisp.
Yes.
And you don't want to settle for not so crisp. So you wear the glasses, right?
Amen. Because you want as many advantages. You want to give yourself the optimum safety that you can possibly have. And
right.
You know, I'm just waiting for mine to fully settle down. You know, after the cataract stuff. But I see very, very well. But I want to see even better than very, very well. I want to see flawlessly.
Right.
You know. So
I know you've talked in the past about hearing aids, I believe. You're wearing hearing aids, correct?
I might not be wearing them right now, but I do have headphones on.
But so the hearing aid thing. So it's another one of those, you know, do you have not asking you, but to anybody, you know, do you have hearing aids? Oh, no, I'm fine. And you're talking to them. They're like, huh? They need hearing aids. There's a stigma, it seems, to hearing aids. Like, why wouldn't you want to hear the best you can hear? You're missing out on a huge... quality of life not being able to hear. You lose out on a huge quality of life not being able to see super crisp.
Yep.
So I don't know. It's just, it's kind of strange when you get old. I hope I don't get in the same boat. Just from a, you know, attitude standpoint or grumpy standpoint. But it happens. I think it happens to all of us. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I've been grumpy since I was 15, so I've had a lot of practice at it. So,
okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, by the way, Frank, get off my lawn if you're anywhere near my house.
Yeah, right.
I thank you very much for the call. I'm glad. Did you eventually talk your dad into giving? Well, you did eventually talk your dad into giving up his license.
Yeah, we finally pulled the keys after we got to a certain point, and it was going to be, you know, we're done with the questions. We're done with it. It's not an option anymore. And it was tough for a while, and he's blaming people. And he actually had some medical things that went on. So it was like, it's actually bigger than us. It's not us being bad guys, but it's doctors saying, this is what happened. You know, there's symptoms and signs here that you had some bigger health issues. And again, it's that aspect of you can't be on the road. If you crash and you go out in a blaze of glory at 91, awesome. You know, you hit a tree. If you crash into a minivan and kill a mother and three kids, that's not cool. And we're living with that. So it was the end of it. But it was lots of conversations after. You guys took my license and you guys.
Oh, Frank. Like, I'm so sorry that you've had to go through that. You know, conversely, I know three people who have been involved in accidents with senior citizens. None of the accidents were the people I knew. They were not their fault, but they've got to live with having been in a fatal MVA the rest of their lives. And it's a hell of a burden to put on somebody, Frank. Thanks very much, man. I appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, everybody I know who has been in a fatal accident, and it wasn't even their fault. They believe me. It's a post-traumatic stress situation, and it's unfortunate. Yeah. 540 at News Radio. Pardon. This is embarrassing. At News Radio 930 WBEN. How you doing? Good to be with you. We're just no, there goes the phone again. At least it didn't get wet this time. Sorry, I have to laugh about this stuff. Yeah. So I don't know if this is of any interest to you, but I hope it is. I've stopped drinking vitamin water. I've stopped. I now drink on the air pure unadulterated vodka. No, I now drink on the air water and freshly cut lemons. And I don't mean just a little bit of lemon. I mean, I'll cut a lemon in half and just squeeze it like a big zit into my water. And it's awesome. Lemon water is, seriously, I feel so much better. And I think, you know what? I can't prove this, and maybe it's not scientifically accurate, but I thought to myself, wait a minute. When did I start getting kidney stones? Hey, it was roughly at the same time I started drinking a lot of vitamin water. And I kind of wondered, could there be a correlation? Because my mom didn't have kidney stones. My dad didn't have kidney stones. So what variable changed? And we're going to give this a shot. Plus, I happen to love lemons. What can I say? Anyway, I want to, there's two things, and I'm going to tease a topic that I want to come to tomorrow on WBEN. First of all, in light of New York State saying, hey, if you didn't submit your eye examination or go into the DMV for your eye examination, you really need to do so by December 1st. All the details are at WBEN.com. But there's a larger discussion, and it involves something we've talked about before, and that is the discussion with mom and dad about how old is too old to drive. And I've been spared that. My dad, again, lost his legs to diabetes, so it was never an issue. And I dreaded that like you can't believe. And mom is 90, and she thinks like a 20-year-old. And I'm telling you, she just knew, I can't drive. How can I drive when I can't get out of the house? That's a pretty good reason. So she sold a mint condition 20-year-old Toyota for a lot more money than I thought she was going to get for it, but it had all the bells and whistles. But, you know, sometimes, do you ever wonder sometimes if it's better to not have a car and just use ride sharing? I mean, for some people, that might be practical. For me, it is not at this point. But if it ever comes to the point where my kids come to me and say, hey, Dad, you just drove on the sidewalk. Maybe it's time to give up your license. I hope that I have the mental acuity to say, what? Now, I hope I have the mental acuity to say, you know what? You're right. Here's my car keys. Go sell the car. And then knowing my daughter, she'll say, Dad, it's a Porsche. I'm not selling it. I'm going to keep it and drive it. It's my daughter. All right, let's go to Declan. I love the name Declan on a cell phone on WBEN. Declan, welcome. You are on the air. Hello.
Hi, Tom. So
Declan.
My parents are can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sorry, I'm driving right now. My parents were still pretty young. Well, they're almost 70, but I haven't had that conversation with them yet, but I'm a truck driver, and on two separate occasions, I've had elderly people run into my truck. One time, I was in Syracuse making a delivery, and on a side street in a loading zone, this woman ran into the back of my truck, probably doing close to 30 miles an hour. She had a car she was leasing. It was really damaged, and you know, I was really upset, and she didn't even realize how bad her car was. She tried backing up, and I felt bad because she was 87, and I think it resulted in her losing her license.
Wow. Did she get petitioned to a DMV hearing, and they stripped her license from her?
Well, I didn't. I don't know for sure. I know my the company I was working for, the safety person, basically it indicated to me that she was, you know, no longer going to drive. I don't know if her family stripped her of her license or if DMV, but she had other damage on the car, and you could tell she just really wasn't, you know, coherent enough to be driving.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate.
It was really sad because I felt responsible, sad, even though it wasn't my fault.
Well, thank God she didn't get killed or seriously hurt in it. And I told you, I think I just mentioned this last week about being on a side street near my home, and I was, for whatever reason, I was driving at a very slow rate of speed, and I'm glad I was, because had I been doing the speed limit, this elderly man who totally ran through a stop sign would have T-boned me, and I did get the tag number and reported it to the local PD with a full report saying, hey, here's what happened. Maybe it was an accident, but I don't know that this guy should be driving anymore. And I did not find out the adjudication of that situation. And I felt bad snitching, but on the other hand, what if there'd been a kid in the road? I mean, that's what I think about.
Yeah, that's what my wife, you know, eventually got me to realize is, you know, she could have hit, you know, a pedestrian or, you know, a smaller vehicle, and, you know, she could have killed somebody. And actually, if she came about 30 seconds sooner, she would have hit me between the truck and her car. So
horrible.
You know,
that was only one collision in which you were involved with an elderly driver?
No, I actually had a second. I was, yet again, I was out near Syracuse, and I was backing off the road into a place. And this guy had a Mercedes. I think it was an SL500 convertible. Beautiful car. Nice. But he started to go around me, and then he cut back in and just ran right into the front end of my truck and ripped the bumper off and did a lot of damage to the car. And he had he told the police officer that he moved into the other lane to get around me, and then there he swerved back in to miss the car that was coming, the oncoming car, but there wasn't an oncoming car.
Oh.
You know, wow. And that was another situation. I felt bad, and his daughter came. He was leaving a golf course. It was about a mile up the road from a golf course, and his daughter showed up, and I thought she was going to, you know, be angry with me. And, you know, there could be a lot of, you know, emotions and tension in an accident. And she was really nice, and she even said to me, she was, look, this isn't your fault. And, you know, she didn't come out and say it, but I got a feeling they were at least going to try to get him to stop driving.
And he
did.
Well, I mean, there's another factor too. Did he appear to be under the influence of any medication? I mean, I realize you're not a drug detection expert, but did he seem like he was drunk or maybe impaired by narcotics or something?
No, he didn't really seem to be. I mean, he was a little bit upset at first. I was almost backed into where I was backing in. The front of my truck was sticking out a little bit. And he said, geez, you should have had somebody watching when you were backing in. And I said, sir, you hit me. He said, yeah, I know. You know, so he, you know, was a little confused at first. But, no, I never smelled any alcohol or anything on him. I don't think he was impaired. I just think he, you know, he got confused. And,
yeah,
unfortunately, that, you know, he was at that age.
Well, unfortunately, too, and again, look, I mean, our senior citizens, and again, being 60 years old now, I can say things about senior citizens I couldn't say when I was in my 30s. But senior citizens, just this penchant, and it goes in spurts. If you, it comes in cycles, if you notice, especially in the summertime, mistaking the brake for the accelerator and vice versa. It is amazing how often that happens. You know, they hit the accelerator thinking they're hitting the brake, and they end up killing people. I mean, there was a horrible situation at a restaurant in Amherst 15 or so years ago, and just devastating for the family involved. I mean, one minute you're sitting there eating a cheeseburger, and the next minute you're dead because somebody hits the accelerator and not the brake.
Yeah, that's sad. And I've heard a lot of accidents where that's occurred.
And it's tragic, and I mean, I guess those are the times where, you know, what one's faith, whatever your faith happens to be, you've got to lean on that, and the whole idea, like what you did, Declan, sounds very responsible. You did not fly into road rage or anything like that. You assessed the situation. You understood that nobody was seriously hurt, and any property damage can always be repaired. It can always be repaired. Human beings are a lot more complex to repair.
Yeah, that's, you know, when the lady, when she hit me, she got out of the car, and I raised my voice a little bit, told her to get back in the car, because I did. She was dazed, you know, kind of after what occurred, and she was wandering around. I didn't want her to get hit by a car, even though we were on a street that was, you know, it was pretty quiet. There wasn't a lot of traffic, but I've heard of that happening. People get out of the car, and they, you know, they panic, and they kind of rush out into traffic. Actually, I've seen on the thruway where people have gotten out of the car in a daze, and they probably shouldn't.
Well, yeah, because they're in a daze. I mean, I think you have accurately described that. When I was in Jamaica back in October, I saw the end result of a pedestrian fatally hit by a vehicle, and the ladies on the side of the road who apparently were inside the vehicle, they were walking along the side of the road. They were not in the road, but they were clearly in a state of shock. They should have had blankets around them. I mean, it was 90 degrees, but I felt so bad for them, and I you know, like when you come across an accident scene like that, my first thought was there was nothing obstructing the view of the driver. To this day, I wonder if it was a suicide, if somebody just leapt in front of their vehicle, because there was just no way that should have happened. I'm glad you called, Declan, and again, call again, because I just love saying your name, Declan. It's awesome. All right, man. Thank you.
I enjoyed talking to you, Tom.
My pleasure.
Have a good night.
Thank you, Declan. What a great name. Oh. How come Mom didn't name me Declan? That would be such an awesome name. Let's go to traffic on News Radio 930 WBEN. We already had a Dick in the family, so maybe it would have been confusing, a Declan and a Dick. The other topic I wanted to do this hour of the show was supplements, because I think I'm going to save that for tomorrow unless something happens newsworthy. People take all kinds of supplements, and I'm cutting back on supplements because I'm also trying to cut back on kidney stones, which I'm getting quite used to, I might add. Here is Emily in Cheektowaga. Emily, you're on WBEN. Have you had the discussion about getting the license away from Mom or Dad?
No, I haven't, Tom. Thank you for taking my call, but I'm hitting you on a different perspective. I am blind. And I'm going to tell you, when these people give up their licenses, it's talking about the giving up their independence, and also it's isolation because they can't do what they used to do. So, yeah, they have the right to be angry. But I will tell you a couple of things that happened to me being blind and walking. So it's not only elderly. I was walking up the street with my service dog, and a woman backed into me. I screamed. She stopped. And she goes, "Didn't you see me?" And I said, "No, this is a seeing eye dog." I had that happen to me 3 times.
Oh, my goodness, three times.
I had
times.
A woman hit me, and she says, "Well, doesn't the dog bark?" I said, "No."
Well, okay, this is going to be a stupid question, and I hope you will forgive my ignorance, okay?
Sure.
And please keep something in mind. I mean, you're blind. I have a great deal of sympathy and empathy for you because I almost lost my right eye, okay? So I am sympathetic to your plight. But do they not train seeing eye dogs to maybe hesitate if a vehicle is backing up or heading right towards you?
It will stop. But if you're walking and that person doesn't see you and they're backing into you, one woman didn't see me. Thank God I had just enough vision to see the red backup lights, and it was dark. And, so it's not only the elderly that need to look at things. Right on red was horrible for people who are blind. We can't get across streets. But, so there's a lot to it. I just kind of wanted to give you that other perspective of the independence, the isolation. And I used to see, never normally, but I had better vision. And as I lose it, as I've gotten older, it's an adjustment, and I don't like it, but you know what? I have to deal with it.
Now, I would love to talk to you more, like, tomorrow, actually, because, I mean, I know, like, I'm amazed at how many blind listeners I have. And I'm very flattered by that. May I ask, is this a disease process, like glaucoma, that has taken over? And
I had RP, retinitis pigmentosa. I'm one of 9 children. One with blue eyes, only one, and I'm the only one with the eye disease, and they said it was hereditary. So who knows? But
Emily, I hope you call in tomorrow. I would like to spend, this is another great topic that I should really get into. What a pain in the ass it is to be blind. I want to do that as a topic, Emily. I have to go. I'm out of time. But,
I understand.
You've given me a great idea for a show topic that I've never done, and I thank you kindly. If you are blind, send me an email, and I realize that might sound stupid, but believe me.
No, we do. I do have email.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Thank you kindly. I appreciate it.
But I want to share one funny thing with
honey,
you.
I gotta go. I'm sorry. I'm out of time. I wish I had time, but I'm out of time. But I do want to do a show on blindness at some point. I think it needs to be done, and I've never done it before.